Five Live's Daily Mayo podcast, delivered to your computer every weekday. For more information, go online.
bbc.co.uk/5live.
Hello and welcome to the Daily Mail. I'm Colin Murray, standing in for Simon all week. Now, today my guest was David Tennant, who came in to tell me about the Doctor Who Easter special. It's called Planet of the Dead, and I started by asking him, obviously, what happens in this special edition.
It starts in a museum in London. Mm-hmm. Lady Christina D'Souza is an international jewel thief, obviously.
She's not going to be she's not going to be a dinner lady with that name, is she?
No, probably not. Yeah. And she makes a robbery, and in escaping ends up on a London Red bus where she meets the Doctor. Yeah. Seconds before that very London Red bus is sucked through a wormhole in time and space to the other side of the universe.
You might be looking at me thinking, this Neanderthal doesn't know what a wormhole is. But after seeing The Rock's new Disney film,
oh, right,
Rush to Witch Mountain, they explain what a wormhole
is. There's a wormhole in that?
Yeah. Really? Loads of wormholes.
I don't know what you're talking about.
Did you not think of using the bendy bus?
No, we wanted the old-fashioned route master.
Come on.
Yeah.
It sounds like it's been politicised now. Anyway.
I don't mind a bendy bus. Oh. I know that's an unpopular opinion.
Yeah. Well, there's all sorts of evidence on them, isn't there, of what they do and what they don't do.
Yeah.
Probably not here to talk about that. Unless you're running for mayor. You're not thinking of doing that, are you?
Not yet. Although, you know, I've got nothing lined up after this. Maybe this is my moment to move into politics.
Now, some might call her the bionic woman. You know, I don't.
Some might.
I think just EastEnders, obviously. Michelle Ryan.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Lovely girl. Another feather in your cap there, Mr. Tennant. Another reason for every man in Britain to be insanely jealous of you.
Yeah.
What was it like working with her on the special?
It was great. She's great. She's very down to earth. You know, considering she, you know, became enormously famous at the age of 12 or something. And then went off to Hollywood and had a huge success there, and then came back. You know, she's done all these extraordinary things, but she's very down to earth and normal in the best sense of that word. Mm. And just sort of mucked in and got on with it, and was great to have around, yeah.
Who else are we going to see? Is there other names? I don't get in trouble here, but, you know.
Lee Evans is also in the Easter special.
Okay.
Playing Malcolm, a government scientist that has to help the Doctor through the wormhole. The Doctor finds a way of...
She'd get Lloyd Grossman to do that, shouldn't you?
The Doctor finds a way of communicating through the wormhole, and Malcolm's on the other end.
Familiar monsters, baddies, or new monsters, baddies.
New.
Yes.
Two new races.
Who's your favourite monster in your whole time doing it?
I don't have a favourite.
I like the... I'm terrible with names, even though I've seen every single second of every Doctor you've been in. But the big head... Very important.
The face of Bo.
Yeah,
Captain Jack.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I just want to hug him.
You do want to hug him. And in real life, you want to hug him because he's made of that lovely latex stuff. Oh. You just want to sink your teeth into it. It's really, they're great. That and the Ood heads.
The Ood heads are amazing. Yeah.
They're made of that. It's this brilliant latexy stuff. You just want to chew on it like a dog's toy.
So go tell me more about the baddies and the new types.
The Tritivores are a race of... fly-like creatures that the Doctor and Christina encounter on this planet, and there's also another alien race which you have to wait and see what they are.
Okay, that's good. Little cliffhanger.
Yeah,
it's interesting. On Friday, listeners to this show will hear a chat I did this morning with three of the four main members of Red Dwarf, because that comes back this Friday for three new episodes on Dave. And they were saying they were just astonished by this Red camera they used, and it's a hard disk base, and it fires back the images. And they say it looks Red Dwarf just. Looks phenomenal. And, and there's an element to that with Doctor Who and just what you can do in the 21st century. Yeah.
Well, we're on high def now for the first time as well.
Oh, yes.
So it's all... We've finally moved into the 21st century on that.
That's how you're living.
I know. I can't wait. I've got my big screen telly to watch it on.
Well, I know you are a big fan of how it looks when you watch it, and you don't see it all until you see the final episode.
No, you don't.
The Pompeii episode, I seem to remember, is really high up your list. You thought that looked stunning.
What the CGI bods did on that was just breathtaking. I mean, it always is. I'm always amazed at the end result, you know. It never disappoints.
Usually in Wales. Any exotic locations in this Easter special?
Well, it was mostly Wales.
Which is quite exotic at times.
Yeah, which is very exotic. And although it's set in London, and it's set on an alien planet, which was partly Wales and was partly the deserts of Dubai.
Oh, lovely.
Yeah, yeah.
Did you stay at that really fancy hotel, the one near the Needle? Yeah, come on.
Of course we didn't. We flew in the middle of the night, got in a minibus, drove out to the middle of nowhere to these kind of Butland chalets that were on the border with Oman. The middle of nowhere. Stayed in these Butland chalets, got whipped out to the desert every day. Never saw Dubai and all its kind of man-made gross splendour. Missed all of that in its entirety. But the desert looks great.
Yeah. You know, there's a, because they've changed the natural coastline there, erosion happens in places it didn't happen before.
Oh, yeah.
Because there's man-made islands. They have to take sand, I think it's from the man-made islands, and literally continuously pump it back onto the part of the shoreline that's now being eroded.
Oh, I see.
It's creating natural underwater habitats in places they shouldn't be and killing them where they have always been. It's phenomenal, the whole setup there.
Yeah, yeah.
We want an island, let's build an island.
Yeah, it's probably not the most environmentally friendly way of looking at things, is it?
It's certainly different.
How,
in terms of the conditions that you've had to film in for this, you say you've only just finished it, so I'm assuming it was over a winter?
No, when did we shoot it now? February.
Yeah.
January, February. And then, of course, it's the post-production that takes weeks and weeks and weeks.
Yeah.
So that's the thing that's, you know, people have been literally running up and down Soho streets between post-production houses getting it finished. we've since filmed another story, which goes out later in the year, and we're now in the middle of filming my final two-parter.
I know. We see the last one in New Year 2010.
Probably. I don't think we don't quite have a transmission date yet, but I think it'll probably be... Yeah, either the very, very end of 2009 or the beginning of 2010, yeah.
I mean, you made the decision. I think you had fairly sound reasons for making the decision. But now that you're actually filming the last episodes, has that changed slightly? Is there any little...
No, I know I'll miss it. And I'm aware, you know, I'm having a really good time at the moment, you know. Probably because I know it's coming to an end. You just kind of drink it up all the more, I suppose. It's been the best time. It's been a real kind of incredible journey, really, the last 4 years. But I think it's good to go when you're still feeling like that about it, still on a high with it and feeling like the show's working and the scripts are still great. And, you know, so I'm very glad to... I think it's the right decision. And, you know, I want to miss it. I want to think back fondly on it, you know.
And it won't be your last anyway, because there will be in 3-4 years from now, 5 years from now, where they'll want doctors to come together. And you can give me the guarantee now that if that was put on the plate to you and your career had moved on, you felt like you'd achieved other things, you'd never turn down the chance to go back for one episode.
I hope not. No. That'd be great fun, wouldn't it?
Yeah, of course.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, a few years down the line, I think, probably. You've got to let the dust settle, haven't you?
Yeah.
Mind you, you want to be able to still get into the suit. That's going to be the problem. You don't want to come back to it in 5 years' time and find you can't do the buttons up. That would be very depressing.
Now, does that mean at the moment when you're filming the last episodes, are you looking through scripts and going, am I going to see the Ouds again? Am I going to see will there be a Dalek ever in my midst? And savouring the fact this is the last Oud I'll have in a scene with me? And
yeah, definitely, definitely. Yeah, and it's just, but they are great scripts as well. Because when they arrived, you thought, oh, what if it's all a bit disappointing? What if my finale is a bit of a damp squib? But oh, it's good. Oh, it's good.
That's, do you know what? Like, asking you to tell me, you know, about that is, you know, I may as well get in the Chancellor and say,
do you know what I can
here,
tell
Alistair,
you?
Give us your budget box. Well, it's not going to happen.
Do you know what I can tell you, which is really exciting? And I can tell you because we've been filming on the street, so it's all been tumbled, but... It's playing a major part in my final two-parter, Bernard Cribbins. Bernard Cribbins is effectively the Doctor's companion for the last story. And I can't think of anything finer.
I love it. Stay with us, because these are all questions from listeners.
Okay,
there
good.
May be some that are in Series 3, Episode 4. You reached
the
in your
I
right hand
answer.
For the sonic screwdriver, but pulled it up with your left hand.
I have no problem in confronting pedantry.
Okay. Well, funny enough, within the BBC, as you walk into the famous television centre here, there is a TARDIS. It's not one of the real ones. Is it one of the real ones?
I missed that today. I saw a Dalek in the cafe.
The BBC is just littered with
our props. That's
because everyone's a fan in here, and it's just, it is. I had my picture taken beside the TARDIS. I didn't think, is the TARDIS made of wood?
It is, yeah.
Then it could be a real TARDIS then.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
When you look up close, does it not look like a TARDIS?
Oh, no, it looks... Well, it was always wood. Police boxes were wood.
Yeah, but I'm trying to say that, you know, when you see it in real life, it's a wee bit scrappy.
I wouldn't agree. No, the great thing about the TARDIS... I'm still a pathetic fanboy 4 years on. The great thing about the TARDIS is wherever you put it, it just looks epic.
Yeah.
You just put this prop, and it can be in the middle of the desert, it can be among snow, it can be just on the corner of a street, some manky old warehouse. It just looks good.
Looks perfect.
Always looks right.
Like now, it's beside our security gate and a plant pot, and it still looks fantastic.
Still looks right, yeah.
Should we do some of these questions?
Yeah, go on.
Carol, who's 10, says, what was the creature in Midnight, and will it appear in the future?
It's an excellent question, because we never find out. It's one of the few times that there is something threatening the Doctor, and we never really find out what it was.
Like Maris in Frasier, you never see her. Miles' ex-wife, you never see her. Not
probably,
Frasier.
Probably similar to that, yeah.
It's probably copied from that.
Yeah,
I see.
Yeah.
Andy in Kent says, I noticed in the trailer that the bus in the desert has gone a bit squishy after reportedly being dropped in Dubai docks. How did I explain it in the script? Is that true?
It is true. We shipped it out there. And of course, you have to think far in advance if you're going to ship a bus to the middle of the desert in Dubai. So it left 6 weeks before we were due to shoot there. Got there fine, was offloaded on the docks, and somebody dropped a cargo container on top of it and smashed it to bits. But a bit of panel beating and actually very little rewriting.
Yeah.
It just makes sense. If you're going to transport a bus through a wormhole, it's going to get battered.
So it looks
right. So it kind of worked to our advantage in the end, yeah.
Wow. Maybe even planned it. Nice that the taster featured David, come on, Tennant's catchphrase.
Is that my catchphrase?
Apparently.
Come on.
Come on.
Yeah.
What other ones? You know, that's probably is the main catchphrase.
Allons-y is probably the other one. Allons-y is the other one, yeah. Quite a lot. Yeah.
Lois Gumby says, is your back completely recovered now, or is there a chance the problem will return in the future? Do you get fed up of answering all the same questions over and over when promotion interviews one after the other? I like to think you're excluding this interview, Lois. I haven't even asked him about the House Martins yet. He only gets asked that when I interview him.
The back is better, yeah. There is a tiny chance it can recur again, but I think it's not much more of a chance than it can recur in anybody at any given moment, I think.
Mm-hmm.
I had a very good surgeon who gave me I think it was called a discectomy, removed all the gunky bits that came out of my prolapsed disc that were pushing against the nerve. And I'm pretty much back to normal. Still a slight loss of sensation in my little toe,
yeah,
which may never come back, apparently. But yeah, I can live without it.
It's almost kind of cool.
Yeah.
Yeah,
it's a sort of whirlwind, isn't it?
If you can get to the stage where there's no feeling in it, then at parties you can say, stamp on my toe. Stamp on
my toe.
That's
true.
And people can stamp on your foot.
It can still bleed and break, though.
Yeah. I know, but you won't feel it.
I won't feel it.
It's fine. Stephen in Bristol. How are you doing, Stephen?
Very well, Colin.
Good. Big Doctor Who fan?
Massive, yeah.
Lovely.
Since the mid-60s.
Oh, wow. You see, I'm the new breed. When I was a youngster, I used to find it too scary to watch when I was knee-high to Grasshopper. And then this time around, first with Christopher and then with David, I'm the new breed. Do you hate the new breeds like me?
No, absolutely not.
Okay.
Colin, I'll suggest an episode for you. They've just released it on DVD now. It's a William Hartnell story called The Time Meddler.
Yeah,
and it was a precursor to The Master. Brilliant story, really well written, and it's a shame they don't bring that sort of character back. Absolutely fantastic. I can't remember it first time around. I've just watched it on DVD now. Wonderful.
That's
story.
Good, because I always go and look at the section, you know, of box sets in the shop, and I just look at it and it intimidates me to go back that far. So I will exactly do that, Stephen. Do you want to ask the Doctor a question?
Yeah, yes, please.
Hello, Stephen.
Good afternoon. David, I'm going to be honest. You are my second favourite Doctor.
Second favourite? Okay, thanks.
That's
good. No.
That's
the reason
fine.
The reason being, and I'm sure you're the same and everybody else, is the first Doctor, my favourite is the one I grew up with.
Who was that?
Tom Baker.
Right, very good.
And I would put you in his shoes. I thought your the best episode that you did, which was absolutely beautifully written episode, was the Girl in the Fireplace.
Oh, thank you, yeah.
One of my most favourite episodes of Doctor Who ever.
Yeah.
Brilliant. Your best moment on screen was with the most malevolent man I've ever seen on screen, which was Anthony Head.
Yes, very good. Yeah, he was great, wasn't he?
Superb episode. And it just brought you up another level. It's just absolutely incredible episode. Anyway, my question is this.
Yeah.
The Doctor has only got 13 regenerations.
Yeah.
The Master had to murder somebody to get his 14th.
Mm.
What do you think they're going to do?
Well, it won't be my decision to make. I'll be long gone by then, I guess. So who knows? And it'll be up to a scriptwriter, no doubt more inventive than I am. But, well, I mean, there's an interesting thing there, isn't it? That the eternally moral man might have to do something immoral to continue his own life. I don't know. That's an interesting story right there, I would have thought.
That's what's beautiful about it, though, Stephen. You're already asking questions about two generations' time.
Well, it's going to happen. If you take it that Chris, you know, did two season, David's done three seasons, is it?
Three and a half, I suppose, if you count this year's.
Okay. He'll count the special.
Yeah.
He's holding on to them.
The next guy maybe do two seasons. You're only talking 2012, 2013 before they look at... Maybe look at that if the next guy doesn't do a Tom Baker and do seven seasons.
Well, yeah. But he might. Who knows? Yeah. You never know.
Well, I must ask you, Stephen. Just finally, what do you think of Matt Smith?
I don't. Hand on my heart, I don't know anything about the guy, which is good.
That's what's interesting.
In my opinion, when John Pertwee turned to Tom Baker, I actually refused to watch Doctor Who because I was so much into John Pertwee. I thought it was absolutely fantastic, and I was stamped my feet. I cried when the regeneration scene with the planet of spiders.
Yeah.
Absolutely refused to watch it. And my mum and dad sat me down and said, look, it's a story, it's on the television, sit down and watch it. And then I started watching it about halfway through the first season of Tom Baker, and then the guy was... I said, although David's second, he is a very close to that top, because the way he is on the screen, that your presence as Doctor Who has been a breath of fresh air.
Oh, thank you very much.
Well, listen, Stephen, thank you very much for joining us, and you'd actually concur with that, because your favourite Doctor Who's the one you grew up with as well, David.
It probably is, yeah, which was Tom Baker for me, yeah.
It'd be weird if you said that's me. I'm my favourite Doctor Who. What are you talking about, Colin? I'm much better than Baker. Charlie in Glasgow, he was great. Enthusiasm.
Yes, absolutely.
That's all you can hope for.
Absolutely.
Charlie in Glasgow says, what are you going to miss most about not being Doctor Who? Because it probably will be an idiosyncrasy, won't it? So it'll be pulling on a coat, or it'll be a certain person. Or...
It'll probably be the people in Cardiff, actually.
Yeah.
Because it's been 4 years with most of the same people working on the show. And, you know, you get to know these people and rely on them and you get very fond of them. And it is the best crew I've ever worked with, and I'll miss them. Mm. And it'd probably be that, yeah.
Ruby, who's 11 in Liverpool, it's good. A lot of people off for holidays, and it's just nice. We're getting questions from people age ranging 60 years between them, which is wonderful. Ruby wants to know your favourite episode to film. I know the Pompeii one's high up. We've already had the girl in the fireplace is high up.
Right now, I'm having as good a time as I've ever had. With Bernard Cribbins and some of the other people who are back for this final story, I'm as happy as I've ever been on it, actually.
There's another issue. So there's another issue I want to bring to your attention before we do the rest of these questions. I mean, executive producer Russell T. Davis, he's leaving the programme as well.
Yeah.
This is massive, I think, and might worry a lot of fans. I mean, I know there's a lot of gifted writers, but we're talking about not only a chief writer, but, you know, the executive producer, and you've talked so fondly about him. Mm. You know, will the next series be very different because of that? Or has he left such a footprint?
The thing is, the chap who's taken over is Stephen Moffat, who's written, well, The Girl in the Fireplace, he wrote that. He's been part of the team, really, even longer than I have. Mm. So he's very much one of the gang. You know, he'll have his own ideas and his own way. I'm sure it will change a bit, but it'll still be the same show and it'll still have the same spirit. And Stephen's a great writer and Matt's a great actor, so it'll be different but the same, I suspect.
Mm. Michelle and Gwent in South Wales was asking about your favourite episodes as well, and Tom was asking, talking about Blink being a fantastic episode, so I just wanted to give you your props there for spending your money texting in the show. Now, have you any idea what the new Doctor will wear? As your Doctor stole suit trainers, right?
Yeah.
So that look of suit trainers.
Yeah.
So would he steal any of your image?
If that was the information that I had any kind of access to, I think it would be a bit grim of me to blow it all on Matt's behalf.
Okay, let me ask you a hypothetical question.
Yeah.
Mr. Tennant, would you be annoyed a little bit?
What, if he stole my look?
Were you a bit possessive about, yeah, that's my look. I'm having that look. I'm the second best Doctor ever.
I think I'm sure he will want to have his own individual look. He wouldn't want to just dress up like me, would he?
You're a good politician.
Well,
sometimes.
It's true. He wouldn't. You want
I'm
to
just asking it. Would you be annoyed? Well, not annoyed, but would
I'd
you like to keep that image for yourself?
I'd be honoured that somebody felt they wanted to take that on.
Oh my goodness! Okay, what have we got here? Hello to Martha there. She just wants to say your wonderful smile makes her 11-year-old daughter Martha really happy all the time.
Oh, I'm glad.
It's good that the old pearly whites do that job, which is very nice. Now, a lot of people are texting about individual programmes as such, you know, that they love, which you're going to get coming in all the time. When will you actually finish completely? When's going to be the day you walk away?
We finished shooting Doctor Who on the 22nd of May, but I've got some other stuff to do in Cardiff after that.
Okay. Do you think they'll have a big party for you, a big surprise?
I think there'll be some kind of a party at the end, but, you know, in the new streamlined BBC, we can't spend any money on such things.
Yeah, but, you
know. Or somebody has to kill the Blue Peter cat or something. I think that's the rule now, isn't it?
Do you know what? Even now, so many years after the Blue Peter garden was ruined, you don't want to start killing. You don't even want to mention. You'll be...
I was joking
about
the cat.
Yeah, no, I just want to help you with that because...
I would like to point that out before somebody feels they have to write an editorial about it.
About that, you bring it back to life anyway, that would be okay. It's just amazing overall in the text to look at people texting in just about individual things, like Neil says in the episode The Library. I love The Library. Am I getting mixed up? That's The Shadows, right?
That's right, yeah, right, that's another Stephen Moffat story, you see.
And he's, of course, going to be the new
writer,
producer.
Yeah, yeah.
So he's the guy that's coming in. So people should have a lot of confidence on him, even though Russell, of course, will be missed. But you met a lady who you gave your sonic screwdriver to. Did we find out where you first met her before you buy out? Oh, yes, because you meet the girl has your sonic screwdriver.
She
you don't
seems
give it to
she her. Seems
she has
to,
one.
She's met me already, although I've yet to meet her.
Yeah, and she whispers something in your ear. He's hit something here. She whispers something in your ear,
that's
and
right.
It's massive news
that's
to you.
Right.
It's
right.
Massive news to you.
Yeah.
Have we hit on something that's going to affect your departure from the programme? I think we have.
I'm sure...
I'll describe his face for you at the moment. It's shock. It's going white.
I'm being absolutely inscrutable. Faithful listener, I'm sure our song story is not over, but I will say no more.
Neil, fantastic work on the text, because that episode.
I wouldn't
fantastic.
Read too much into that answer, to be honest with you.
Oh, we can only dream. It's all right. That's what we do. I can judge by your face, Mr. David Tennant, that you might not be the biggest football fan in the world, because someone's asking what team you support.
Oh, it leaves me cold. I have to be honest.
Wow, always has done.
Always has done. Yeah,
bit of cricket, bit of rugby.
Nah.
Baseball?
Nah,
badminton?
Not really.
No?
Not a whole heap of a sports fan, if I'm honest with you.
It's all right there.
Quite like watching the snooker and Wimbledon.
Okay, there you go. And the odd World Cup. Don't mind the odd World Cup.
No,
not even a World Cup.
Good for you not jumping on the bandwagon. That's the big tournament.
Don't get it. Don't get it.
Now, David, I suppose you have to bear in mind as you move on that this huge profile that's been created by playing the Doctor to look at why you take certain roles that will be offered to you. I mean, because when you were involved, obviously, I know you're a fan of Shakespeare, but you recently starred in Hamlet and it brought a whole new audience to it, a younger audience. So a lot of people are going to want you. There's a lot of rumours out there.
Well, I've got nothing lined up. So, I don't know.
The most outlandish rumour, which is amazing, somewhere, I don't know whether it was in a blog or whatever, We find out that, you know, the Riddler in the sequel to The Dark Knight, somebody said that you could play that you've been linked to the job. Have you been linked?
I've not been linked to my knowledge. No, I think that was something, that's one of those things you get asked by somebody in passing once, would you fancy playing the Riddler? And I said, yeah, I suppose. That then becomes a story that I've been linked and we're in talks.
Oh, so we could do that now and create some stories.
You can do
whatever
you like.
Would you like to be James Bond?
I'm in talks.
Yeah, okay.
Let's just say that.
Yeah. Would you like to do 10 o'clock news?
In talks.
Yeah, wonderful.
In talks for a lot of stuff at the moment. You know, nothing confirmed.
Yeah.
Can't confirm anything.
Would you like to be Doctor Who one day?
No.
Oh, okay.
No. I'm really setting my sights on Dickinson's Real Deal. That's what I'm heading for.
Are you looking both sides of the Atlantic, though? Is Hollywood an aim for you? And I don't mean that in a tacky way.
I don't really have a game plan. I never really have. I just kind of bumble from one thing to the next and hope that a good script will come in.
Okay.
That's all I kind of get excited by is if a good script comes in.
But a lot of actors, after they have, you know, a purple patch in television where it's, you know, record ratings and million, you know, you become a household name from it, the automatic reaction, which you maybe already displayed a little bit with your work with Hamlet, is to repel television, repel that type of spotlight and try and get into more intimate crowds, you know?
I suppose I don't really. Again, there's not any particularly conscious tactics in going off and doing Hamlet, for instance. It was just because an opportunity arose and it was something I'd always wanted to do. So that just happened. I suppose you could say it looks like I was trying to kind of, intimate that I was, after a certain type of work. It's just because that came up and it fitted in, really.
Mm. We were talking about, things that you might do seriously in your career, but little bits of fun as well, which is lovely that you can have little bits of fun. You were on stage with Franz Ferdinand, the comic relief.
I was.
In a lovely
suit. Top of the Pops.
Yeah, Top of the Pops.
Top of the Pops with a guitar slung over my shoulder, high kicking with Franz Ferdinand. Oh, yes.
That must have been fun.
It was great.
I played, I drummed with Franz Ferdinand
once on stage.
Yeah, they're lovely. They love having people on.
Oh, they're great.
It doesn't cheapen you being on. It's just they don't have every...
Yeah, that was a slight bit of one-upmanship you did there. It was like, don't think you're getting away with that.
are you going to host the Jonathan Ross show?
On Saturday morning on Radio 2, yeah. Myself and Catherine Tate are going to do it.
Oh, wonderful. Have you remained good friends with Catherine since? In fact, everyone, haven't you? All the girls you've remained friends with.
Yeah.
That was very sinister the way you answered that question. Now, I know you do have a little burning ambition for music radio, don't you? It's something you enjoy considerably.
I do, actually, yeah. I remember as a kid sitting in my bedroom with records and doing that thing of trying not to crash the lyrics. That's what you call it.
Crash the lyrics, that's right, yeah.
And I used to sort of, try it out and try and get in and out of songs and, I don't know that I'll be particularly good at it. And there is a fear that on Saturday morning there'll be 3 hours of dead air. But we do have John Barrowman coming in at one point to sort of, so that'll keep us going.
Wonderful. I've went that way now as well. Torchwood, I've went that way. I've been watching that on box sets day after day. I'm going to guess some of the songs you'll be playing on Saturday.
Yeah, go on.
Which obviously no one will be listening because Fighting Talk is on BBC Radio 5 Live at 11 o'clock.
I wouldn't worry about it.
Yeah, okay. Yeah. You Pet Shop Boys, we're going to hear Pet Shop Boys, obviously. That's the obvious one that everybody knows.
Okay.
Yeah,
I think to be honest, I've sent in loads of records that I want to play, but I haven't heard back from our producer.
No wonder.
What's acceptable yet.
House Martins, you've sent, they're on the list.
Yeah.
Me, yeah, and the Farmer.
No, I've gone for Happy Hour, actually. Yeah.
Anything Franz Ferdinand, so you can talk
Franz
about
Ferdinand.
Yeah, you can talk about
can talk
being
about
on
being
stage.
Being cool with them. New Super Furry Animal single. That,
yeah, it's great, isn't it?
And
but that has one of Franz Ferdinand doing German at the start of it.
Oh, I didn't know.
Well, you
there
get
you
your
go.
Notes out for
there
your show.
There you go.
And you'll be in a good situation.
And the Proclaimers playing live.
No.
Playing live.
Sunshine Underneath. Would they do Sunshine
I don't know
Underneath?
What they're going to do. They've got a new album coming out, so I suspect they'll want to do some new stuff. But
we've got a couple of minutes.
Yeah.
Do you remember we were talking about the generation problems? You can only regenerate so many
times.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
What if the 13th Doctor was a woman who can regenerate by giving birth, says Gavin?
That's a great idea. It's not for me to decide.
It isn't. I just think it was a good question.
How do you know that male in Time Lord society it might be the males that give birth?
That's a very good point. Can only be made by a doctor.
Thank you.
Do you know the doctor's real name? Says Craig.
I do, and I'm not telling you.
But do the only people that know the doctor's real name? Everyone who's been the doc, because I can't. It must be out there.
River Song whispered it in my ear.
Wow. Yeah. It's kind of bad. You wouldn't want to know. You wouldn't want to know.
No, the day they tell you the name, the shark will be jumped.
Then it'll be all over.
Yeah,
I will always go back. Of course, we are just getting texts of things that you can't answer, but just people saying what bits that they loved, and obviously the scene in Wolf Bay. I've got that right, haven't I?
Yeah, Bad Wolf Bay. Yeah,
Bad Wolf Bay with Billy comes up. It makes me cry, that scene.
Yeah,
I'm not afraid to admit that. Every time, like a baby,
sign of a big man.
You were in Rab C. Nesbitt. I saw that on the television.
I was.
Richard Moss in North York's points that just reminds me of that. Do you want to explain what your role was?
I was a transsexual barmaid. I was Davina the transsexual barmaid. Yeah. Yes.
You make a beautiful woman.
I did make quite a beautiful woman. I was a bit tall.
Yeah.
Because Gregor Fisher plays Rab C. He's not that tall. So it was a bit of an issue with the high heels. But blooming uncomfortable. But I was very proud of that.
Maybe you could do when Jason Donovan doesn't want to do Priscilla the Queen of the Desert anymore.
I'll be there.
In the West End. Yeah. You could be down there. In talks.
In talks for that.
Gwen in Manchester knows that you're a big fan. You read somewhere Catcher in the Rye, but you've got audiobooks coming out, haven't you, as well? Is that true?
Yeah, probably do, yeah. Have I?
Wow, unbelievable.
I don't know. It's all so busy, Colin. Yeah. I, you know, speak to my people.
and they'll tell me at some stage. And last thing, it's just a really nice email, I think, from Audrey, who says, hello, I'm a French girl. I'm 19 years old.
Yeah,
and I tried to send you an SMS to tell you. She, you know, she said, "I love David Tennant's work. He's a great actor. I wanted to tell him French people think of him. Nice to see him in French TV." And this is the most important bit from Audrey. Happy birthday to David for April the 18th.
Merci beaucoup.
Have you got any plans for that?
If it's we're on a night shoot till the middle of the Saturday morning. So I don't know. I'll see how I bear up after that.
All right, thank you very much. The Easter special then, and then we've got the Christmas special.
No, there's one before that. There's one between,
one before, and then two
parter. Now and Christmas, and then a two-parter over Christmas, yeah.
Bring on the Bernard Cribbins.
Bring on the Cribbins.
That's what it's all about.
Yeah.
Thank you, Doctor. And
great pleasure. Thank you for having me.
Lovely. Enjoy the rest of your day.
Thank you.
That was David Tennant, the outgoing Doctor Who, talking about the Easter special, Planet of the Dead.
The best bits of Chris Evans on BBC Radio 2.
I'm going to do this again. We're going to have to start the show again. Should we just do the whole thing again?
I think we should.
Yeah, shall I pretend to be Fenella?
Yeah, off you go.
It's 5:05.
Thank you. Last night, Sally bought me a huge, big, fat cigar that she insists that... No, it's not going
to
work.
For details of other BBC podcasts, go to bbc.co.uk/podcast.